Second Timothy, and we're going to just start here in verses 1 through 4, and we'll read this all together. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we will read all four verses all together here at the beginning of the chapter. And normally we read responsively, but this time we'll join each other on the opposite ones, right? And the ones we're supposed to have already. So all together here in verses 1 through 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says, let's read together. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. As we continue, listen, I hope you understand, there is so much to unpack here. Even with singular words, and we've proven that over this year, you understand that after today, I believe there are seven more Sundays left. And so if we, by reason, if we say there are 52 weeks in a year, and there's only seven left, that means 45 have already gone by, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? And so please understand, I know we've been talking about this particular subject for over 40 services. But I don't believe it's redundant, okay? I believe that there's much more to glean. And certainly now, as Paul has, I believe, ratcheted it up a little bit, he's brought it up a level by just telling Timothy, study to show thyself approved. He says, Timothy, avoid these things. Depart from this. Don't do this. Do this. Follow these things. Don't follow these things. He's given him instruction. He's given him commands. But now he says, and now in chapter 4, he says, I charge you. So now I believe he's taken it up a level. And I believe that because of what he says before God, right? He says, I am bringing you up accountable to a higher authority, to a higher power. Not just, don't just listen to me, Timothy. Don't just hear your preacher. Don't just hear your father in the faith. Now I'm going to bring you up in front of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am going to charge you because this particular one, God and the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the one judging the quick and the dead at the appearing, at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, this is a big deal. So I say to you at the end of this year, folks, as we head toward the end very quickly, that this is a big deal. And if we'll get this down, if you'll make this your life's work to study to show thyself approved unto God. Folks, every Christian under the sound of my voice has got to realize this is a charge before God. That you need to make this thing of studying the Word of God, dividing the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, living by the Word of God, has got to be your life's work. It should be what you're known for at your funeral. And it's not just the preachers that should be known for this. Folks, listen to me. I'll just go back to my time, if you will. I was saved as a kid. I grew up in church in a Christian home, if you will. I was taught right things and true things. I knew to be in church, but when I got involved in this kind of church, I was not involved in this kind of church before. I realized that there was a realness, a reality to Christianity. And before, what I had been practicing before was really just religion. Okay, it was a kind of an empty Christianity. I found value, I found purpose, I found just that there was really substance to Christianity. There were actually standards of separation, and there were things to learn, and there was real life in Christ that needed to be lived. Folks, I found that in Independent Baptist Church. And let me just tell you something. It's so wonderful. And I remember one night I was lying in my bed, and I was thinking about these things. And it was really cool where I lived. I was in the Navy at this time, and I was on the island of Sicily. Okay, if you know where that is, right, in the Mediterranean. It's the little rock that the boot of Italy kicks. Okay, and it was there. And the house that I lived off base, lived in an old town with old homes, etc. And I don't know if you've been to Europe. A lot of their housing is like this, where it's basically a whole street, and it's like basically one house, and each house shares a wall with the next house. You know, and the streets are like this big. maybe they're as big as this aisle here. I don't know. But ours was a kind of a two-story thing. It had stairs, and I had two roommates. And my room was up in the top of the place, and I had a skylight. And the walls of the house were all lava rocks. They didn't have bricks over there. They had lava rocks because the Mount Etna. Anybody know where that? Volcano, a very active volcano, but very cool volcano. But I'm lying there and looking at my skylight as the Mount Etna is erupting. So these shoots of lava are going into the air and all that stuff is fantastic. You know, it's a pretty cool scene. But I'm just thinking about my life. I'm in the Navy. I enjoy what I'm doing, and the thought hit me. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, and by the way, remember, I'm just getting exposed to this, just getting experience, and I had just asked my pastor the previous week, Pastor, can we have church every day? Because that's how much I was enjoying it. That's how much I was excited about this. And remember, here I am, probably around 20 years old, 19, 20 years old, and I've been in church my whole life. And yet I've discovered something where church is exciting. It's more exciting than it ever has been before. And I asked my pastor, I said, could we have church every day? I was just that excited about it. And they were teaching me about soul winning and teaching me about this and about that. And those things I had never experienced before in church. And I just remember laying there and thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great if my job was to study the Word of God? And to read the Word of God, and to memorize the Word of God, and to help people understand the Word of God. Wouldn't that be a fantastic vocation? Career path, if you will. And by the way, I took that as my call to preach, if you will. And I began to study to be, we had a preacher boy class, and then I went to Bible college, and now 20 years later, here I am. But can I just tell you something? It's not just for preachers. It's not just for those that are called in the ministry. If you will make this your life's work, so that on your tombstone, it says that he or she was a workman approved by God. That they studied the Word of, their life was about rightly dividing the Word of truth, preaching the Word of truth, living by the Word of truth, and telling others about the Word of truth. This is their life's work. Folks, that's what we ought to be remembered by. Hey, your coworkers should say, oh, that man, that woman, she or he, they are a student of the Word of God. We all ought to be like that. It's not just good for me to study the Word of God on a daily basis. It's good for you to study the Word of God on a daily basis. It's not just for me to say on my shoulders, I'm bearing the responsibility of being charged before God to do these things. The Christian ought to feel that way as well. So last week we talked, we had a little bit of an introduction, but we mostly talked about the word reproof. To convince, to convict, to admonish people to listen to the Word of God. Please, right? Beg them, beseech them, admonish them, convince them. Hey, you've got to hear what God's word has to say. You've got to listen to what God's word has to say. And we're going to proclaim, we're going to preach, we're going to bring people to a point of decision. That's what preach means, okay? When I preach, I'm trying to bring you to a point of decision. Somebody asked me several weeks ago what the difference between preaching and teaching is. Teaching is to impart knowledge or information, okay? I have knowledge and information, and I'm going to bestow that knowledge and information upon you, okay? So if I'm a teacher, of mathematics, I'm going to take the information of mathematics and I'm going to present it to you so that you can know mathematics. And if I'm a teacher of English, which I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but I would take all of the knowledge and confusion of English and try to put that on your brain. Why I'd want to torture you with that, I don't know. But I guess people do that for a living, okay? I am serious about that because it's crazy. I'm teaching a class called Teaching Children Reading. By the way, do you know how much manipulation a person has to practice to teach children reading? Seriously. Because we tell them that A says ah, and then we proceed for the next 2 months to tell them why it doesn't say ah. Yeah, tell me that's not manipulation. That's manipulation. Why would you tell the kid in the first place it says ah, and then try to convince them the next 2 months that it doesn't say ah? Okay. You're not getting it. It's real, folks! Some of you just got that. You're like, what? What? Why can't A just say ah all the time? It could, but somebody decided to be crazy and develop English. Anyways, all I'm trying to say is, right, that's teaching. What is preaching? Well, I'm still giving and imparting knowledge, but I'm trying to make you decide about it. That's the difference with preaching. I'm presenting a truth and the knowledge of truth, but I'm trying to get you to buy into it. To say, that's what I want. That's what I need. And folks, listen, it's not just the imparting of knowledge. Preaching is another level. It's not only just giving you the knowledge and you say, okay, I have this knowledge now. Now I want you to have this knowledge and I want you to choose to use it. That's preaching. Bringing people to a point of decision. So he says, look, bring people to a point of decision about the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, in other words, all the time. And then he says, reprove, convince them, admonish them, convict them, make them hear you. And then he says, rebuke. So first of all, we have reproof. We're supposed to tell them about it. We're supposed to admonish them about it. And then we're supposed to rebuke them. This word rebuke means to censor or forbid. Now, is that a different level than just admonishing and convincing and convicting? It is. Okay? It's another level. It's a higher level of concern than just the first. Yes, we want to inform people, if you will, convincing them, admonishing them, convicting them of what we have to say about the Word of God, but then we're going to say no. We're going to say, you can't do that. Right? When you hear the word censor, right? When something is censored, it means it's not allowed. Right? They used to do this in the 80s. They probably don't do this anymore. There's so much trash and terribleness on TV today. Listen, there are things that ought not to be said on TV, that used to not be allowed to be said, but now I say it without any shame or fear. But I remember back in the 80s, I used to like action movies, you know? Where stuff is blowing up and all those kinds of things. But, you know, back in the 80s and the early 90s even maybe, when they played a movie on television, they censored it. They used to cut out the bad words and the bad things. And I remember my dad was a TV video recording nut. Okay, we had all these. If there was a movie on TV, he'd record it, you know, on the VCR and VHS tapes, and then he would label it and he would mark the things and he'd do all that stuff. We had, you know, dozens of videotapes of movies on TV and stuff. But I would go back and I would watch those, you know, some kind of this movie or that movie. And then I remember as a young adult, I got out of the house. I got into the Navy, got out living on my own. I'm like, oh, hey, I remember this movie that I watched when I was 12 or 10 years old. And I went to the video store, you know, Blockbuster or whatever they had back then. And I would get that movie that, you know, this is the one that wasn't on TV. And I'd pop it in and I'd be like, ah, cover my ears, cover my eyes. That was in that movie? I don't remember that. Because they had cut it out. They had censored it. Folks, listen to me. We need to go beyond just admonishing, convincing, and convicting people. We have got to rebuke some things. We have got to stand up and say, no, you can't do that. Folks, listen to me. I know that comes with some pushback or some kickback. But it's okay to say no. And by the way, listen to me. It's going to be unpopular. You're going to take some flack for rebuke. And the rebuke of things that are not to be so. Go over to Proverbs chapter 9, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 9. So the word rebuke means to censor, to forbid these actions and these things. So remember, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. He says, reprove, admonish, convince them, tell them, inform them, and then tell them, no. Censor this, cut this out, forbid this. This is the next step in the process. We tell them that it's wrong, and then we say, you're doing this wrong, don't do it anymore. We're going to cut this out of our lives. Are you there in Proverbs? Look at chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says, forsake the foolish and live. By the way, does that mean cut them out? Yeah, forsake them. Okay? And live, he says. So do you want to live? Cut out the foolish stuff and the foolish people. Then he says, and go in the way of understanding. So guess what? If I'm going to forsake, I'm going to say I'm going to leave it behind. So I'm not going to go that direction anymore. Because what's the danger? If we allow foolish people and foolishness in our lives, we're going to be tempted and drawn to that foolishness. So he says, forsake it. I'm going to put it behind my back. That means I'm going to go in a right way. I'm going to censor this. I'm going to forbid foolishness. Folks, listen to me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. We can't have both things. We've got to start cutting some things off. We've got to begin forbidding and censoring things in our life. So he says, forsake. And then he says, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner, getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man, getteth himself a blot. By the way, don't be afraid of that. That's okay. But just understand that if you rebuke a wicked man, you're going to suffer for it. You're going to smart for it, if you will, because they're not going to like it. But guess what? That's not a problem. It's okay to be, if you will, shamed if or someone thinks bad of you because you said no. They're wicked, folks. They're foolish. But you are certainly welcome to tell them that. Then he says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. So this, again, this sounds confusing. I've explained this before. But remember that we have got to deal wisely as serpents, the Bible says, right? Harmless as doves, wise as serpents. We're supposed to deal with people the right way. But certainly reproof and rebuke is what we're supposed to do. He says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. Go over to flip over to Proverbs 13. As we don't be afraid to say no, to forbid or to censor things, we've got to remember that this is our purpose on this earth. If the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If we don't speak up, who is going to speak up? And will you be slighted for it? Yes. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. It will come. Are you there in Proverbs 13? It says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Okay, but let me ask you a question. If a scorner doesn't hear rebuke, does that mean you just don't bother telling them? No, you still tell them. Are they going to hear you? Probably not. But if you stand up and say it, you're doing your part. For instance, let me ask you a question. If we go out and preach the gospel to every creature, does that automatically mean that every creature is going to hear and listen to the gospel? So that means we shouldn't do it, right? That's what the Calvinists will tell you. It doesn't matter, right? No, it does matter. We're still supposed to go out and tell them. We're still supposed to stand for truth and right. We're still supposed to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. In season and out of season is supposed to take place. Are you still there in Proverbs 13? He says, scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. Here's another person that doesn't hear rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So you see, folks, even though they may not hear rebuke, rebuke is to be given. Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed, don't be afraid to reprove, to convince, to convict, to inform, to tell them. Don't be afraid to forbid and to censor certain things. And by the way, are these certain things our opinion? Because, you know, I've heard this a lot too. Oh, you Baptists say X, Y, Z. Right? Folks, listen to me. It's not what we Baptists say. It's what the Word says. Rightly divided. You know, there are things that God says. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. You know, there are certain things that God says are wrong that our world says are right. Guess who I'm going to side with? I'm going to side with God. Because he says that homosexuality, sodomy, is wrong. And I don't care what other people say. Listen, I'm so glad that there have been some people that are, if you will, secular people that have finally come to their senses and said this whole woke stuff, this whole LGBTQ alphabet stuff is a bunch of nonsense. Because it is. But yet there were so many Christians that said, well, we've got to be tolerant. We've got to respect their decisions.
No, I don't have to. And it's not a hate crime. It's reality. And they want to live in fantasy land. And listen, it's not about, and by the way, can they choose that? Yeah, they can choose that, but I can still say it's wrong. And there's nothing wrong with me saying it's wrong. And there's nothing wrong with me saying, you know what? At this church, you can't do that. It's forbidden. It's censored. Because it's against God. You're going to get sued. Well, if I receive that blot, then so be it. Do you understand how that works? I mean, it doesn't matter what they say or how they receive it. We're supposed to be the one saying it. By the way, folks, if we don't say it, who's going to? If we don't stand up for this word and rightly divide it and then tell them so, who's going to? They're not going to. Because they don't regard this, do they, at all? They don't even accept that this is God's word. And the ones that do don't hold to it so fastly that they're willing to die for it. That they're willing to be shunned for it. They're willing to be persecuted for it. But I hope we are. Because are we not children of the Most High God? Are we not Christians? Shouldn't Christ be our life? I'll take you back to Colossians 3 if I have to. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Folks, listen to me. We've got to stand up and rebuke. It is okay to say no. That can't happen. That's not going to happen. That shouldn't happen. It's okay to censor and to forbid things as long as it's rightly divided, as long as it's preached, the preaching of the Word of God, it's the truth. Look what it says. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 24. Solomon says, "But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them." Oh, hooray. Blessing from who? God. Proverbs 27:5 says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." You know, one of the falsehoods that people say about this is that, well, if you say something, you hate those people. No, actually, if you say something, you actually love those people. Just like they say, well, if you discipline your children, you hate them. No, that's not true. The Bible says if you discipline your children, you love them. It actually says the opposite in the Bible, that if you don't discipline your children, you hate them. Folks, this world is backwards. And we've been brainwashed, or if you will, or we've been desensitized to this. And Christians are a bunch of spineless jellyfish that won't stand up for anything. And we've got to take a stand. I just think about this so many times since he said it, but what Brother Raspberry said about the why choosing the name Lighthouse Baptist Church, because it's on a firm foundation. Folks, we're not making this stuff up. This is not our opinion. This is the Word of God, rightly divided. And if that is the truth, and it is, and it's our foundation, then we should stand tall and shine brightly the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes that means to say no. This is forbidden, not by the Baptists, but by God. Take your Bible, turn over to Philippians chapter 2. As you do, I want to read a few more verses here. Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Remember what was said in Psalms? To forsake foolishness, right? The foolish forsake the foolish man. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And by the way, aren't people hearing the song of fools today? It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Over in Luke 17, Jesus says this, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." Right? I mean, and if he repent, forgive him. You see, rebuke is not just one-sided. Don't just go on around being all negative and accusing people all the time. By the way, we're not done with this verse yet. He says reprove, rebuke. Ah, that's next week's sermon. Exhort. And by the way, let me just skip ahead a little bit. With all long suffering, is that a good thing? Yes, and doctrine. Okay, so it has a foundation. It's not an opinion, right? By the way, how many of you think have things that you don't like that aren't necessarily wrong? Come on. There are, how many of you don't like a certain food? Okay, me, I do not like avocados. Yeah, I'm sorry. How many of you just, you're in love with, you love avocado, you want avocado everything. Yeah, not me. Okay, listen, that, just because I despise avocados, all right? I despise them. I don't like the texture. The only thing I like about avocados is the color, because I like green. Okay, but other than that, by the way, there's like three different shades of green in an avocado, so that's pretty cool. But anyways, but other than that, they're disgusting, all right? But just because I don't like avocados doesn't make avocados evil. They're evil to me, but they're not evil to you, right? It'd be wrong for me to say, you know, I censor avocados from any church activity. I forbid. Don't even use avocado oil and stuff, right? That's ungodly. That's evil. It's wicked. Right, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Okay? No, listen. And we're not talking about opinions here. We're talking about a workman that's not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Someone who's preaching the word, not preaching opinion. And by the way, not even preaching preferences, but doctrine. Sound doctrine. Because there's going to come a time where they're not going to endure sound doctrine. By the way, is rebuke something you have to endure? Yeah, it's harsh. Is rebuke harsh? Absolutely. Who likes to be told that they're wrong? Nobody. Right? How many of you have a little mechanism inside you that whenever you're told you're wrong, you kind of do this? Right? Who has that mechanism? Anybody have that mechanism? I do. I have like five of them, okay? I think everything goes up, you know? We're kind of built that way as mankind, aren't we not? So, listen, rebuke is not pleasant, folks. But it's something that must be done. It must be done. Are you there? What did I tell you to go? Philippians? Okay, I got two more verses to read before I get there. I better hurry up. Revelation 3, remember when he's talking to the churches. Jesus says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So what's the purpose of rebuke? Is rebuke just to beat people down? Saying, no, 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 you can't, right? Because we're tyrants. We're Baptist tyrants. We're just beating people down all the time. Is that the purpose of rebuke, folks? Not at all. Quite the opposite. What's the purpose of rebuke? To bring people to repentance. To bring them into line to what God says should be. And folks, listen, we have the body of truth of what God says things are supposed to be. And it doesn't matter what people think about it. It doesn't matter their opinion about it. It's what God says. We should. By the way, back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, if you're going to name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. So guess what we should be able to say? Don't be iniquitous. I just made that up if it's not real. Okay? Don't practice iniquity, Christian. It's okay for me to say, Christian, don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't do this. Don't do that. Why? Because their principles and commands and things in the Word of God that we're not supposed to fulfill. We're not supposed to fulfill the works of the flesh. They're listed in kind of what they are. Social things, physical things, mental things, spiritual things. They're listed in detail. So you know what? I am able to say, as a workman of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, a preacher, if you will, telling people, this is the body of information that you're supposed to have, and now I want you to not do this, right? I'm going to rebuke you. Because if you're smoking, I should be able to say you shouldn't be smoking. Remember what it said in Luke, if a brother offends you, trespasses against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You see, forgiveness is not something you know what, I'm not going to do that today. I've already asked you seven times, I'm not going to ask you again. No, we just keep rebuking. Who's the judge? Not us. God's the judge. What are we supposed to do? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. All right, okay, we're going to get to Philippians. Here we are. No, I have one more verse. Ha ha. Titus chapter 2. Paul tells Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. By the way, where does our authority come from? Just because I'm the pastor of this local church, is that where my authority lies? No? Where does my authority lie? Right there in this book. The Word of God is my authority. What did Jesus say? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then what does he tell them to do? Teach all nations, right? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. So where does our authority come from? As preachers and teachers of the gospel. From Jesus Christ, who has what? All power. And all authority. All right, there in Philippians 2, look at verse 12. Paul says this to the church in Philippi, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. So, how do we live a life that's not rebuked? By living according to what God says we're supposed to be. Right? So you say, well, I don't want rebuke in my life. Then don't live that way. It's that easy, right? If you don't want to be rebuked, then don't live according to the things that'll get you rebuked. Because what is going to be sure? That if you do these things, you will be told no, you will be censored, you will be forbidden, because you're doing the things you're not supposed to do. And what's going to come because of that? Rebuke. So we've got to realize that Paul even says, look, you're obedient, and now that I've been gone, you're much more obedient even. But he says this. He says, do these things that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And then he goes on to say, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So they're supposed to be the ones without rebuke because they're living harmless and blameless. And the ones that are to be rebuked are the crooked and perverse ones. Because they are living against the things of God. And they're supposed to be rebuked. So the ones that don't get rebuked are the ones that are living according to the way God wants us to live. The ones that are rebuked are the ones that aren't. And let me just say, folks, we ought to take a stand. I remember when I was a principal, I would have many times where I would have to bring a student into my office because of an offense. And there were many times where I would tell this student, of course, that they were wrong, right? I'd explain the rule. I would tell them what was wrong. And then I would have to tell them, you were wrong. And then I would tell them this. I would say, look, so-and-so, you're a young man in our school or whatever. You have the ability to influence people. And you can either lead them to do right, or you can lead them to do wrong. And then I would also tell them, look, you also are a student in this school. And you know what goes on in this school more than I do sometimes. And are you going to be the kind of kid that's going to stand up and says, no, we can't do that? Or are you just going to let it happen? Folks, I'll go back to it again. We are sojourners in this world. Right? We, if you will, we have to live here for this space of time. Are we going to be the kind that lets everything just go by and not stand up and say no? Or are we going to stand up and say no? Oh, it comes with a price. But you know what? I think we ought to be willing to accept that price. Because guess what? In God's eyes, it's a reward for that. In the world's eyes, it's a blot, right? But who are we serving? Who are we trying to be approved by? God or by the world? Where did the time go? Let me finish this passage. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. By the way, overall, what is the world? Darkness. And what are we? Lights in that darkness. Because he's the light, right? Okay, then it says, where's the lights in the darkness? I lost my spot. There it is. Holding forth, holding forth the word of life. Word of life. Preach the word, right? Rightly divide the word of truth. He says, the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Folks, I'm just trying to help us today. And I know this is a little stout, a little bit rough. But I'm just saying the level has been increased. We have got to understand that we've been charged. And listen, I know that this comes with a price. You might be marked. But you know, the Bible tells us a little bit about that. I don't have time to go. I'll mention it next time. But in Philippians 3, Psalm 30, 130, Romans 16, folks, listen to me. There's supposed to be a marked difference. It says about marking those that cause division, marking those that do this, marking those that do. And then it says marking those that are wise. Folks, we're supposed to pay attention. And the ones that do right are supposed to be marked. And the ones that do wrong are supposed to be marked. I should have a label. And that's why I don't mind being one of those grumpy old fire preaching, hell fire damnation, brimstone preaching preachers. I don't mind that. Because it's not me. It's the word. It's the truth of the word. And sometimes it's hard to swallow. And sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. But he says, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Bring people to a point of decision. Make them decide. In other words, if I don't say, you can't do that, am I making them decide? The answer is no. But if I say you can't do that, and they look back at me and says, well, make me. Well, listen, it's not my job to make you. I'm just supposed to tell you. And listen, in so many forms, is not preaching the gospel a form of rebuke? It really is. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to make them repent and come to Christ. And trying to make them choose between life and death. It's uncomfortable. And there are going to be some that accept it, and there are going to be some that reject it. You say, well, there's just going to be some that don't decide. Guess what? Don't deciding is deciding. We must reprove and we must rebuke. Okay, I got to be done. I'll catch this up the rest of the time. But these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.